good evening and welcome to the Monday. What is it? July 3rd, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, or most of the time, I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Boy, that song gets you rocking. That guy was one heck of a piano player, wasn't he, folks? I'm telling you. Just brings back nostalgia to hear that kind of stuff. Wow. Well, from June 21st to June 30th, 3,000 miles on my car. Some direct and some indirect RBN business, but a whole lot of driving with a whole lot of shaking, folks. Now, for a while there, I thought I was back in the over-the-road salesman business. I love driving through Texas, though. 85 miles an hour, and the cops don't even bother you. I passed two or three of them that were clocking people. They didn't even bat an eye. Well, except Fort Stockton's Border Patrol checkpoint, but you've already heard that story. Yep, shucking, jiving, and a whole lot of shaking. Now, I'm going to get to that a little later. But first, tied into all of this, I have to ask folks, what happened to the deal by handshake? What happened to the honor in keeping one's word? What happened to conscience? What happened to integrity? Is there such as a thing as honor in government anymore? Was there ever? Is there such a thing as honor in business anymore? Was there ever? Has greed and corporate profits erased all human compassion or fair play? Are you finding the criminality more in your face than ever in our lives? Oh, hey, we know what's going on in government. Heck, the hosts on this network report it every day. And I'm going to expound on that a little bit later. But I have a story closer to home, and I really want your input here, folks. I want to share with you what I've uncovered in some of the mobile home parks here in the Valley. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you, maybe none of you, have ever lived in a mobile home community. I have a couple of times. And, you know, I had a friend of mine come over the other day, lives in a park down the road, and he told me that they were being investigated because the park management was selling homes to people and not giving him title, and then looking for a reason or an excuse to evict them and keep their money and resell their home. Now, that's just part of it. I spoke to another person that there was a clause in her contract. She bought a $26,000 mobile home, and there was a clause in her contract that said she couldn't move it. She never read the contract. When she left the home, she had to sign the home over to the park. The park resold the home, kept the money. Now, I want you to imagine something for a moment. It gets worse, folks. I want you to imagine that you apply for a job as the manager of a mobile home community. Now, that takes you into a little bit different arena, because when you apply for the managership of a mobile home community, you don't have to sign an ordinary month-to-month or lease agreement with the community, like most people do. You're hired on as an employee, and of course you get perks or benefits in that arena, where you get a small stipend per month, and you get free lot rent. Now, this very thing happened to an individual that I know personally, and in order, one of the protocols of being a park manager is that they have to live on the premises in the park. So they hired this person on, and at that time, this person didn't live in the park. But about a month, a little more than a month goes by, and there was a home that came available that was to this person's liking. So the stipulation on that was that this person was to buy the home, put $6,000 down on the home, and make the payments on the home. Now, given the fact that there was free lot rent, well, that was okay because the actual payment on the home was less expensive than the lot rent would be. So it was kind of a, you know, kind of a trade-off, if you will. Well, oh gosh, great manager for over a year, and without notice, just a while back, this person is fired from the job. But it gets worse, because there was no lease agreement signed, and the person was making the payments on the home to a trust. Now, the management of this particular community is attempting to force this couple out of their home so they can resell the home, keep the $6,000, and, of course, all of the benefits of the payments that were made on the home. Now, folks, I want to ask you a question. Put on your legal minds. Let's talk a little legalese here. All right? Is this a subject for the Attorney General in the specific state? Are there any legal beagles out there that can give some input as to how to approach this? Because I've given my thoughts to this individual about what's going on, but I want to know if I've missed anything. So anybody that's ever had that experience, or anybody that may know of somebody that is in a capacity to be able to advise on that, give us a call at 800-313-9443. And let's talk about it. But all the shucking and jiving that's going on. You know, I had the opportunity to listen to John's show today. And on Monday, Ron McDonald, every Monday. And John was talking about this shucking and jiving and what's happened with the budgets in these states. You know, New Jersey is the latest, Illinois. And what we're seeing happening was predicted, two, 3 years ago, I believe. I believe that John was talking about this. This is the... not the tipping point, but it's starting, folks. All of these the states that, you know, they get their revenue and their budgets from taxpayer dollars, from collecting auto license renewal plates and charging you when you buy your car, and all the different ways that these states they gain revenue, and they have their annual budget. Well, it reminds me, and I can't remember the guy's name. Somebody can help me with this, maybe. The Confidential Annual Financial Report. Now, who was the man that was talking about that years ago? I had him on my show once, can't remember his name. But according to him, there was two specific reports. One was the budget that the public sees, and one was behind the scenes. And when I started looking at this with Illinois and with New Jersey and what's the next one on the list? I think it's Kentucky. There are 13 states, as John mentioned on the program today, that are not being able to come up with a budget. And the reason is because money is disappearing. Money is disappearing from the pension funds of these workers in the state. And now Illinois has come out and is talking about, or is going to raise taxes, state taxes. And did I hear 35% state tax increase? That's outrageous. And there's 750,000 people that have already left Illinois over this. They have not been unable to come to a budget. So the roads, the bridges have all stopped construction. All of the workers have walked off. You know, according to Zero Hedge, they say that they've written quite a bit over the past couple of months about this pending financial crisis in Illinois, which will inevitably result in the state's debt being downgraded to junk at some point in the near future. So here's the latest from just this morning. From horrific to catastrophic, the court ruling sends Illinois into a financial abyss. And according to the state of Illinois, it doesn't have a monopoly on ignorant politicians. They're everywhere, folks. And since the end of World War II, these ignorant politicians have been promising American baby boomers more and more entitlements while, well, never collecting nearly enough money to cover them all. It's all been a massive state-sponsored scam. As we've noted frequently before, some of the largest of the many entitlement scams in this country are America's public pension funds. Now, up until now, these public pensions have been covered by stealing money set aside for future generations to cover current claims. It's a Ponzi scheme, folks, of epic proportions, $5 to $8 trillion, to be exact. And, of course, the problem with Ponzi schemes, well, it's eventually you get to the point where the Ponzi is so large that you can't possibly steal enough money from new entrants to cover the redemptions from those trying to exit. And with a tidal wave of the baby boomers, I being one of them, folks, about to pass into their retirement years, well, hey, guess what? I didn't about pass. I passed a few years ago. But at the time I went into Social Security and talked to those people, the statistics were that there were 10,000 baby boomers, I believe it was, let me think about this, 10,000 baby boomers a week that were retiring. Okay, so that's 40, that's half a million, let's see, 10,000 a week would be half a million a year, okay? That's a lot of Social Security checks to pay out. So we suspect that America's epic Ponzi is on the verge of being exposed for the world to see. And when the Ponzi dominoes start to fall, Bloomberg has provided this helpful map to illustrate who will succumb first. Now, John went over this on his program today, and I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, folks, but they have a chart here that if you listen to John's show, you know what percentage in these states of the private pension funds are funded. And the ones that are in the worst shape are, of course, New Jersey, who is unable to come to a budget, which Christie just got on and made the announcement the other day. Illinois, who basically has they've stopped construction altogether. And Kentucky's next on the list because their public pension funds are 50% or less of what is needed to be paid out. And this is or will be the domino effect. Now, what is to be done about this? This is not something that is just an isolated incident because, as John reported on his program today, and I'm going to repeat tonight, is that there are a number of states lagging just slightly behind those three states, and when the dominoes start to fall, those pensions are going to dry up. Can you imagine for a moment, folks, the chaos that could ensue with that? Not only that, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. I got an email, actually I got a phone call last week from one of my listeners who was talking about cryptocurrency, and that person gave me a telephone number to call or a video to watch that was a three-minute video on cryptocurrencies. Now, we've seen these pop up, Bitcoin and so forth, pop up over the years, and it reminded me when I talked to this person that it reminded me of the dot-com bubble, as it were. Now, these things pop up all the time, and I'm not saying, don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying they're good or bad. In the dot-com bubble, there was a number of people who lost money. There were a few people that made money if they picked the right dot-com, if you will. But there was an enormous amount of money that was funded into there, and it was done by what is called indexing. Now, I haven't done a lot of research into that, but I have tipped on the iceberg of some of the stuff that's going on right now of how these stocks are being propped up where the stock market is at the moment. And I don't claim to be a financial wizard, but some of these companies that are actually losing money are being propped up and their stock is rising because they're being indexed to other stocks. I'll get into that more another day after I've had more time to research it. But back to this. These companies that have 50% or less are three, Illinois, Kentucky, and New Jersey. But then you have the ones that are funded of 60% or 70%, which are a little bit more stable. But the fact of the matter is that they do not have the funds to cover what their financial liabilities are. In other words, they're in the red. And how are they going to gain this money? The only way they can gain this money to pay it back is to raise taxes. But the question is, where's this money been going? Who has been taking this money and allotting it for other things? Now, we know that when the government has talked in the past about, we're going to balance the budget. Well, balancing the budget means nothing more than just continuing not to go any deeper in debt and to make sure that the interest on the national debt is paid. But in order to balance the budget at times, they'll take money from one place and put it into another. For example, the Social Security alleged trust fund, which once was but is no more. Bill Clinton balanced the budget by taking money from the Social Security budget and putting it over into something else, which budgeted for, I think it was 94, 5, and 6, or might have been 95, 6, and 7. But all they do is juggle money. And it's temporarily balanced, but right now the deficit, and I haven't looked at it lately, but the deficit is on the downslide. Now, where am I going with this? Well, where I'm going is that financially, this country's in trouble. And what I had mentioned before, what happened to the deal by the handshake? What happened to conscience? What happened to integrity? What happened to honor in government? What happened to honor in business? This is all going by the wayside because it doesn't seem, folks, to make any difference anymore. They can be in your face with their lies, with their criminality, and with their outright theft, and it doesn't seem like they even care. Now, Chris Christie announced a shutdown and orders a state of emergency on July 1st. Illinois, Maine, Connecticut, the end of the old fiscal year, and the failure of numerous states to enter the new one with a budget, it means that some of America's most populous states have seen their local governments grind to a halt overnight until some spending agreement is reached. And now we can add New Jersey to the list. Just on Saturday morning, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie declared a state of emergency in the state and announced a partial state government shutdown as New Jersey became the latest state to enter the new fiscal year without an approved budget after the Republican governor and the Democrat-led legislature failed to reach an agreement by the deadline at midnight Friday. Now, in a news conference Saturday morning, which I watched, Christie blamed the Democratic State Assembly Speaker Vincent Priesto for causing the shutdown. And just like Illinois and Connecticut, Christie and the Democrat-led legislature are returning to work in hopes of resolving the state's first government shutdown since 2006 and the first under Christie before New Jersey is downgraded further by the rating agencies. Tell you what, let's do this. No, let's not do this because I didn't send it over to Mike. I was going to go ahead and play that clip, but it's a short clip, and it basically just tells you or shows you him talking about the same thing I'm talking about, so I'm going to skip that. But if there's not a resolution to this, everyone will be back tomorrow, Christie said, calling the shutdown embarrassing and pointless. He also reportedly referred to the government closure as the speaker's shutdown. Christie later announced that he would address the full legislature later at the State House on Saturday. Now, Prieto remained steadfast in his opposition, reiterating that he won't consider the plan as part of a budget process, but would consider it once a budget is signed, referring to the shutdown as Governor Christie's hostage crisis day one. Prieto said he has made compromises that led to the budget now before the legislature. He says, I am also ready to consider reasonable alternatives that protect ratepayers, but others must come to the table ready to be equally reasonable, Prieto said. Governor Christie and the legislators who won't vote yes on the budget are responsible for this unacceptable shutdown. I compromised. I put up a budget bill for a vote. Others now must do their part to and fulfill their responsibilities. Politics aside, folks, the diplomatic failure has immediate consequences for Jersey residents. Now, and I want you to pay close attention to this because I'm going to point a couple things out to you here that John missed. And the reason I'm reiterating this whole thing is of the seriousness of this situation. Why am I saying this? And I'm going to get into the cryptocurrencies here in a minute. I want your opinion on that too. Not saying it's good, folks. Not saying it's bad. I want more information on this because it is, for lack of a better word, I guess it's a cyber currency. You know, it's not really something that has a tangible existence to it, whereas gold and silver or bullets or food does. Anyway, we've got to take a break. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live, by the way, from the Valley of the Sun at the moment. Be right back. See you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I have to tell you, I've been doinking around with my computer during this entire break because it's doing all kinds of weird things. I had Tom in Philadelphia that gave me some advice on putting some malware bytes or to keep infections from going in. And the other day it popped up and it went, okay, your temporary subscription has expired. So that means I had to pay and I didn't pay. So I don't know if they stuck something in here or what happened. But bottom line is, now before I get back into this, talking about this whole thing with New Jersey and what they've shut down, which I want to pay I want to pay specific attention to certain things they did shut down, but of course other things they didn't. But before I do that, I wanted to let everybody know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I've put 3,000 miles on my car this week, and I did it either directly or indirectly for stuff that John and I are doing or trying to do behind the scenes at RBN. And when John mentioned today, we're short of the pledge drive. We're building, or we had the ability or the time to sit down last week for to kind of throw some ideas out, and we've come up with a couple of good ones. Now, I'm going to be back at the network August 1st, and we're going to implement some of these changes. But in the meantime, folks, we still need your help. We still need donations. We still need to keep the ship afloat until I can get back there. We can implement this. I've got another IT guy that's going to change around the store. We've got some pretty interesting packages we're going to be setting up. And eventually we're going to be able to stop this because, as you know, none of us, like John or I or any of the hosts, don't really like asking you. And I know you don't like hearing it. But that said, that doesn't disregard the fact that we still need the donations. So if you can see your way clear for $30, $50, $100, pick up the phone. Dial 800-724-2719, extension 3. Talk to Mike, take a donate or make a donation, and consider being a monthly donor, folks. Also, you can send cash, check, or cellophane cash in tinfoil to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can just go on to the republicbroadcasting.org website, click the PayPal button, and make a donation. And in the little box there, you can say, it's because Michael was barking at me, and I'm tired of hearing him bark at me. At any rate, just do us a favor and keep those cards and letters coming, folks, because we're getting there. And John, I've asked John, I'm making a trip back east, back to Indiana here in a couple weeks. I'm going to sit down with another IT guy, I'm going to get the whole thing straightened out as far as the store goes, and then I've asked in Florida, so I could. What's that? What's that, Mike? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, I've asked John to get some documentation on another on the issue that I'm going to be studying, so I can be able to put it up on air and be able to present it to you guys, so you'll understand what we're talking about. I don't mean to be cryptic here, okay? But it's just things that we're in are in the inner workings. That trust me, behind the scenes, we are diligently working to straighten this out. My mobile home, by the way, I put up for sale. Matter of fact, I have an application pending right now for a prospective buyer, and I have five more waiting in the wings in case that one doesn't come to fruition. So there's a means to my madness on that issue as well. I have a motorcycle that is here that I'm selling. If anybody's interested in it, I'm lowballing it. It's a 2008 Honda Shadow with 6,900 miles on it. Books for $3,700. I'm letting it go for $2,500 to the first person that comes with $2,500. Folks, I'm putting this out there just in case you're interested. You want a nice bike. It's a pristine, beautiful bike, fully dressed with saddlebags and a windshield. Okay, all of this stuff is being done behind the scenes. The 3,000 miles I put on my car, as I said, I've done this both directly and indirectly for the benefit of RBN. So just because, and by the way, I apologize, and I want to thank you for your patience, just because I haven't been on the air as much as I'd like to be, talking to you great folks out there, it's because I'm doing other internal things to help bring the revenue to the network that we need to survive. And I think we all agree that RBN is the last bastion, the last beacon of light to survive in this, because it's only getting worse, folks. The lies are getting worse. The in-your-face criminality is getting worse. The wars are getting worse. All of it's getting worse. All right, I'm through ranting on that. Take a break. We'll be right back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. See you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Yeah, you know, I'm going to stop talking about your money and donating for a minute and talk about their money. So, politics aside, the diplomatic failure has immediate consequences for the New Jersey residents. Chris Christie ordered all non-essential, and I want you to pay close attention to this, folks, because I'm going to point a couple things out here. All non-essential services to close beginning last Saturday. Now, New Jerseyans were feeling the impact as the shutdown took effect, shuttering state parks and disrupting ferry service to Liberty and Nellis Island, and among those affected were a group of Cub Scouts forced to leave a state park campsite and people trying to obtain or renew documents from the State Motor Vehicle Commission, along with agencies closed by the shutdown. Huh? You know, see, anything that we need to do, folks. Now, I wonder, okay, you can't renew your motor vehicle. You can't go in and get a driver's license. Well, are the police in New Jersey tipped off when they pull you over? They got to ticket you anyway because they need to keep cha-chinging that revenue through there? Now, as the funds run out elsewhere, it's only going to get worse. The police were turning away vehicles and bicyclists at Island Beach State Park in Ocean County, and there was a sign posted at the park entrance featured a photo of Prieto and the phone number of his district office in Secaucus, along with the caption, "This facility is closed because of this man," which isn't true, really. This facility is closed because they're unable to reach a budget because the cockroaches are running into the woodwork because of the money that's been misplaced on the money that was supposed to be allocated for one thing and obviously went to another. But when asked about the sign, Christie spokesperson Jeremy Rosen said the governor wanted to make sure that people knew why the site was shuttered. Speaker Prieto single-handedly closed state government, Rosen said, adding that the governor wanted to make sure families knew that the facilities were closed and, of course, who is responsible. But get this. Here's where it gets good, folks. Not all things will be affected, you see. Remaining open under the shutdown will be the New Jersey Transit, of course, because you can still stick your money in there and go from point A to point B. And lest we forget those state private prisons, you know, the ones where those giant CEOs are making millions of dollars a year? You know, those are going to be unaffected because there's too many people, too many politicians, too many judges that are investing in their stocks. We can't let those go down. No. Not all things will be affected. Mm-hmm. And, of course, let me add, no surprise here, got to make sure all these big corporate investors, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, B of A, government pensions, and fund investors like the California teachers suffer no loss in their portfolios from keeping or closing down a private prisons. Oh, no, we got to keep those open. Now, the state police as well, no surprise there, got to keep their ticket quotas uninterrupted for the consistent revenue stream. The state hospitals and treatment centers, though, of course, they shouldn't be touched, as to continue allowing them to bend patients over and rape them for their insurance coverage, as well as the casinos. You still go gamble, though. You see, the casinos, the racetracks, and the lottery, you know, the ones that Illinois, or not Illinois, but New Jersey's making all the money on, well, we must make sure that the people are still allowed to gamble away their paychecks to keep those corporations in operation. You see, those still remain open, folks. But anything that has to do with you having a good time, or you getting the proper health care, no, those are shut down. You see how that works? And, of course, let us not forget Child Protective Services. Now, this racket needs to continue at all costs, as breaking up families while draining their wallets in family court and trying to recover their children is very profitable to the system, and, of course, it must be maintained in any crisis. But, you know, as I reported earlier, any fun stuff, like a visit to that state park or a trip to renew your driver's license, which isn't fun, or your registration, is put on hold. Like I said, I wonder if these people are going to get ticketed or pulled over anyway. It wouldn't surprise me. The ferry to Ellis Island shut down. Wow. Now for a trip there, you must swim. Interesting that the partial shutdown affects the people, but the corporations and bureaucracy, well, they just continue to churn. And remember, if you want to gamble, you want to play the horses, folks, you want to go to that casino, yeah, you can still do that. Keep buying those lottery tickets because the state's still churning in that money with it. Now, a major point of disagreement is the ongoing stalemate between Christie and lawmakers over whether to include legislation affecting the state's largest health insurer into the state budget. Christie and Senate President Steve Sweeney agree on legislation to make Over Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield, excluding allowing the state insurance commissioner to determine a range for the company's surplus that, if exceeded, must be put to use benefiting the public and the policyholders. But you see, Prieto opposes the plan, saying that the legislation could lead to rate hikes on the insurer's 3.8 million subscribers, and that the legislation is separate from the budget. Prieto has said he will leave open a vote on the $34.7 billion budget that remains deadlocked, 26 to 25, with 24 abstentions, until those 24 abstentions, well, change their mind. We'll just see if that's likely to happen. Now, Democratic Assemblyman Vince Mazzio of Northfield was among those abstaining, and he reasoned that if the governor did not get the Horizon bill, then nearly $150 million in school funding, $9.6 million of which would go to his district, would be line-item vetoed out of the budget. And indeed, Christie said Friday during a news conference that he would slash the Democratic spending priorities if he did not get the Horizon bill as part of the package deal on the budget. He said, "You want me to wave a magic wand and get a budget?" Christie said. "I can't get a budget to my desk. Only the Senate and Assembly can get the budget to my desk." But where things may get nasty quick is that Christie said public workers should not expect any back pay. Yeah, don't count on it, Christie said, of furlough pay. That was, "I'll fight for a good contract for you, Corzini. I ain't him." "I'll fight for a good contract for you, Corzini." And Christie says, "I ain't him." So almost sounds a little mafioso, doesn't it? Okay. Meanwhile, the finger-pointing has begun, including Democrats pointing at other Democrats. "Now, it seems like he's just being stubborn," Mazzio said of Prieto. "With all due respect to the speaker, then there should be some type of negotiations. But Prieto said it's lawmakers, the fellow Democrats like Mazzio, who are to blame for the shutdown." All the finger-pointing, folks. He said he is willing to discuss the Horizon legislation, but after the budget is resolved. Now, Christie has balked at the proposal because he says lawmakers plan to leave town to campaign for re-election and will be a lame duck. According to CBS, all 20 lawmakers face voters this year. Well, that should make it even more interesting. So finally, putting the sheer chaos of it all in context, Christie, who is term limited and is expected to be out of office by January, has his family, now get this, folks. Now, remember I said some of the stuff shut down, some of it's still open. You can still gamble, all right? But if you want to go get your license renewed or you want to go to Ellis Island, you got to swim, all right? But here's where it really gets ironic. Putting the sheer chaos of it all in context, Christie, who is term limited and is expected to be out of office by January, has his family staying for the holiday weekend in guess where? In a state-owned house at Island Beach State Park. You know, the one that's shut down? Well, not all of it's shut down because he's staying in the house and they're paying for all of the butlers and the maids and the food and all that stuff. That can be part of the budget, but the rest of it can't. Remember, if you want to go to Ellis Island, you got to swim. The park is closed because of the shutdown. Well, the park is closed, but the state-owned house in which Christie is staying for the holiday remains open. What does that tell you, folks? Huh? Is this not a dog and pony show? Okay. Oh, here we go. There we are. Okay, I finally got rid of that. Now, I have to say, and Doug Owen, maybe you could check on doing something about this, because anytime I seem to pull an article up from blacklistednews.com, I spend more time trying to get rid of it than I do pulling it up, which is totally weird. And my one-time webmaster told me it was because of something to do with the advertising that he is running there. Let's see. Okay, so, well, that's the same one. Okay, all right, I don't want that one. Give me a minute here, folks. I want to get rid of this because this is causing all kinds of problems with my computer. Yeah, it is weird, Mike. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, I just pulled another one up from Blacklisted News, and it is it makes my computer do weird things. I mean, he's got a lot of advertising up there that I know he didn't put up there because he's got Alex Jones Super Blue toothpaste up there, and I know Doug didn't put it there. So, whatever. I think that's because Alex Jones is paying for Google ad pop-ups, so what does that tell you? I don't know. Anyway, you know, speaking of that, I told you I'd made a trip to California last week. You know, I went from here to California and back to Arizona, and then I went from Arizona to Texas and then back to Arizona, and so I've got a good taste of the gas prices, you know, in California, in Arizona, and in New Mexico, and in Texas. And I have to tell you that in Texas, the gas was the most inexpensive of all of them. And I'd seen it as low as $1.87 a gallon in some places. So those of you that are living there in Texas, thank your lucky stars, it's only $1.87. However, when I was out at Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, I was absolutely appalled at the price of gas because 87 octane was $3.25 a gallon. And you know how that goes up 10 cents a gallon if you go to 89 and then another 10 cents if it goes up to 91? Uh-uh, not in California. It goes up 25 cents per two octanes. I wonder who's getting all that money. I know that they increased the gas tax there, but I don't think, let's see, if you're paying $1.87 in Texas, that'd be $2.87. That'd be about $1.30 a gallon difference. Where's all that money going? And all that money going in there, and California is still broke? Does that make any sense to you? So again, getting into these budgets, and by the way, you know, as John mentioned on his show, there's five states that won't even report where their budgets are as far as the pension funds go, and California is one of them. I wonder if that's any reason why. They don't want you to know how bad they're screwing you. That's why. Anyway, okay. So, let's see. All right, let's get into this. Let's get into this solutions thing here. Now, again, behind the scenes, John and I are talking about a couple of, I think, are pretty good ideas to bring revenue into the network. And so it's, I'll quote Alex Jones, it's a win-win situation because we're going to start offering some things that would be of value to the listening audience. And hopefully we're going to be able to wean off of this pledge drive thing and get the revenue up to speed where we can run it without having listener support. Although, listener support is always good. And like you, not directly, well, sometimes directly, but indirectly, I am supporting the network to the nth degree. But let's talk about solutions here. Now, as I said, I received a call from a listener last week asking me to watch a three-minute clip on cryptocurrency. Now, the listener told me that, like it or not, this is the wave of the future. Well, now it seems, as I said, I've heard that before during the dot-com bubble. And I'm not saying that all the dot-coms were bad. obviously, there's some of them that really made a lot of money. And this listener brought up to me that if you had invested in Bitcoin, I believe it was in 2005 or whenever it started, you know, you'd be worth $2.6 million if you put in $100 or something like that. So Bitcoin really went, you know, good. But there are other cryptocurrencies that are coming out all the time. And so I'm going to share this with you, understanding the cryptocurrency boom and its volatility. Because I'm skeptical about this, folks. You know, I'm not real skeptical about buying an ounce of gold or an ounce of silver because I can hold it in my hot little hand. It's pretty. It looks nice. Okay. Did you ever remember the Liberty Dollar back 10 years ago? Bernard Vanathos. And he used to, and I've done this before, he used to do the drop with people. You know, you could hand people a $20 bill, or you can give a choice. Would you like this $20 bill or $10 bill or whatever the denomination happened to be at the time? I can't remember. Maybe it was 10. Or would you like this? And you would drop this silver dollar into their hands. And half the time people would take the silver dollar, and half the time people would take money. What people don't realize, that I know you do, is that the money really is nothing more than a note. It's a Federal Reserve note. It's a debt. It's an instrument of debt, and it says so right on the front of the note. It's worthless only into the context of what people in their mind think that it's worth, but there's nothing backing it. And I had the occasion when I was back in Texas, you know, John had promised me, I guess a listener had given him a couple of silver certificates. And before I had gone back there, this is a couple of months ago, John said, oh, I got two silver certificates. And he asked me if I wanted one. And I said, sure. Well, guess what? He gave me one. He remembered it, and he gave me a silver certificate. So I have it in my wallet now. And when the subject comes up and I'm talking to somebody, I actually compare it, give them a background story on it, which I think is a good idea to do because people, you know, if you talk to people, sometimes their eyes glaze over. But if you can show them something on paper or physically they can look at it, then the penny drops and they go, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. You know, and then you explain why that happened, and they get a better grip of what's going on. Anyway, I had occasion to do that a couple of times last week, and it worked. So thank you very much, John Stattmiller, for the silver certificate that I carry around with me now like gold. Well, it's not gold. It's silver. It's paper. And it's probably you couldn't redeem it for any silver, but, you know, that's beside the point. Anyway, getting back to this cryptocurrency boom thing. Now, speculative booms are often poor guides to future valuations and the maturation trajectory of a new sector. A 1996 San Jose Mercury News article on tech pioneers attempts to carry the pre-browser internet's bulletin board community vibe over to the newfangled World Wide Web. Now, in effect, the article is talking about social media a decade before MySpace and Facebook and 15 years before the maturation of social media. And if you take a trip down memory lane, folks, 15 years ago, I believe, yeah, 15 years, were you on Facebook? You know, were you on MySpace or Twitter or any of that? They didn't exist back then. So those particular things took off, and the investors, they went public, and there's a whole bunch of money to be made. They're likely overvalued now, but that's beside the point. A lot of people made a lot of money in it. Apple was $25 a share in December of 1996. Now, adjusted for the splits, that's about the cost of a cup of coffee. So what's the point of digging up this ancient tech history? Well, technology changes in ways that are difficult to predict, even to visionaries who understand present-day technologies. The sources of great future fortunes are only visible in the rearview mirror. And I'll give an example of that. I remember back in 1990, it was about 1990, when did the flat screen TV came out? They came out in about, I think, about 2000, 1999, something like that. Oh, there's the music. Boy, that went fast. All right, we'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, I'll tell you about the, I'll tell you my story about the flat screen TV when we get back. See you on the other side. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could. Cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Yeah, back to my story here. Back in the days, 95, 96, back about the time that the Titanic came out with Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. I remember that. So it had to be 96, I believe. This is back in my prior life when I was rolling in money as an estate planner, and I didn't hook up with, but I ran across this guy that was an Edward Jones broker. You know, John Keeley was his name, and he was in a little town called New Haven, Indiana. From what I understand now, he's in one of the bigger suburbs of Chicago, rolling in dough. But at the time, you know, they used to put on seminars, and they would tell their brokers to push certain stocks to people. And I was not a major stock investor. I had some money to throw around, so I used to sell long-term care insurance, so I invested in a couple of the long-term care companies. And guess what? You know, I actually made money doing it because they were on the rise, and I wound up doubling my money on a particular stock. It was American Travelers long-term care stock back in that particular time period. But he kept pestering me to buy this stock called Kopin Corporation. Now, Kopin Corporation was it was supposed to be the tip of the spear as far as the flat screen TVs, okay? They were the ones that were going to come out with the flat screen TVs, and it was going to revolutionize the whole industry of TVs. And so I bought into it. I don't remember how much I put in, but it was a significant amount of money. And of course, as my American Traveler stock would go up, my Kopin Corporation would continue to go down. So I wound up a little bit better than break even. But I watched that stock for a good 2 years, waiting on the flat screen TV to come out, only to lose probably better than half of the money that I'd put into it, and ultimately I bailed out on it. So don't trust a stockbroker, folks. Anyway, but that's what I'm talking about, is that the source of great future fortunes are only visible in the rearview mirror. I think ultimately Copen had merged with some other company, and then a year or two later they came out with the flat screen TVs, and you see what you see today. But many of the tech and the biotech companies listed in the financial pages of December 1996, well, they no longer exist. Their industries changed, and they vanished, or they were bought up, often for pennies on the dollar of their heyday valuations. Which brings us to the cryptocurrencies, which entered the world with Bitcoin in early 2009. Okay, I was thinking it was 2005. I never invested in it, so I guess it was early 2009. Now, there are hundreds, I guess now, of cryptocurrencies. And a speculative boom has pushed Bitcoin from around $600 a year ago to $2,600, and Ethereum, another leading cryptocurrency, from around $10 last year to $370. Now, where are cryptocurrencies in the evolution from new technology to speculative boom to maturation? Well, judging by valuation leaps from $10 to $370, the technology is clearly in the speculative boom phase. If recent tech history is any guide, then speculative boom phases are often poor guides to future valuations and the maturation trajectory of a new sector. Now, does anybody remember the Push Technologies CIRSA 1997? This was the hottest thing going, and variations or valuations of early companies went ballistic. Then the Fed passed some new innovation, and it became the next big thing. Anyway, we got to go to the top of the hour break. Phone lines will be open next hour. Be right back on the inside.
There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.